Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everyone with us this morning. Our order of service this morning is the service of prayer and preaching, which of course has those two canticles, but this is like the third or fourth time we've done it, so surely y'all got it down pat by now. But it's all right because the psalmist doesn't say make a joyful, pure musical note. He says be joyful and make a joyful noise. So he will forgive any of our mistakes. This is also Memorial Day weekend, and for those of us that have served, for those of us who have lost loved ones, for those of us that had parents that served and grandparents who served, all those things, that this weekend is for them, for those who didn't make it home. And so I hope that tomorrow you'll take at least a few minutes between, you know, burning your grill, your hamburgers, and, you know, getting your fries done, that you'll remember what the weekend is all about. Now, before we get started, we'd like to know who we're worshiping with. To accomplish that, we have what we call the 10-foot high rule, except as spread out as we are today, let's make it 20, 30 feet. But just say good morning to the neighbor around you. Introduce yourselves if you don't know each other, and then we will get started with the morning service. So our opening hymn for this morning is God Himself is Present, and we will stand for the third verse.
Thank you.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Sanctify us in truth. Your word is true. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Continue with the Old Testament canticle.
And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun and moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, and nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. We continue with the Ten Commandments together. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and we invite the kids up for children's sermon. Good morning.
Good morning.
How we doing today? We're out of school now, aren't we? You got a whole summer to torment your parents.
Yeah.
Two whole months.
It was our last day of school.
I know it was the last day of school, yeah. This morning, and we heard in the gospel that Jesus did more than just tell people about God. Jesus also showed people what God was willing and able to do. And so it tells the story that there was a man that had been lame. That means he couldn't walk. His legs didn't work right. And he had been set by this pool in Bethesda. And the story behind that pool is Luke goes into more details and tells us that it was thought that when every once in a while, an angel would come in and stir the waters of that pool up, and the first person that jumped in after that would be healed. This guy had been waiting 38 years trying to be healed. You know, at that point, when you have suffered that long, you begin to wonder, does God really love me? Or did I do something that really made God mad at me or something along those lines? You don't understand why you're suffering. You just know that it hurts and your life would be so much better. Well, Jesus sees this man and already the water's been stirred. Someone else had gotten ahead of him once again. But Jesus looks at him and says, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. And you know what? If you paid attention in the first reading from Acts 3, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, the disciples did the same thing. Peter and John were going into the temple, as they always did. There was a man there that also needed healing. He was looking for money. When he reached out, he said, you got any money? Got any change you can give me? And of course, Peter says, I'm broke. I have nothing in my pockets, but let me tell you what I do have. I've got the name of Jesus Christ, and it's in his name. I'm going to tell you, get up and walk. And guess what? That guy got up and walked. The point is this. Jesus didn't just tell us about God's love and kindness. Jesus showed us God's love and kindness by healing people like that lame man. And same thing, Peter and John, they didn't just talk about Jesus. They showed the power of Jesus by making a difference in the lives of other people. And guess what? We know about Jesus. We know about God's love. Every time we see a cross, we remember God so loved the world, he sent his son to die for us, right? We know about that, and we can share that good news. But you know how we can best make the grace of God known to people? How about by being kind? How about being helpful? How about when we see someone in need doing something to make a difference in their life? Because at the end of the day, God's grace isn't just something we talk about, it's something that we try to do in everything that we say and do. So will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming for me and my sins. Remind me, Lord. You came for everyone else, too. So let me share the good news of your love. and the kindness of God's grace, not only in what I say, but especially in what I do. Amen. All right, y'all can head on back, and then we continue with the sermon hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Peanut butter cups. There are just things that were meant to always be together. And today we see there's one other thing that has always been meant to be together. And that is the gospel and actions. There's an argument that has been stirred up in the last few years about the role of evangelism and social justice. James MacArthur And several pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention said that you cannot put the two together. They don't belong together. That if you look and act upon social justice, you are not truly proclaiming the gospel. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention slapped back and said, no, that's not true. So oftentimes, we're like MacArthur and the others. We want to say that it's either this or that. But in Scripture, we see it's both and. So again, I address our attention to Acts chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at that hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, by the way. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's hold there for a bit. So Peter and John are doing what Peter and John always did. In those early days, the Jerusalem church still continued to go to temple for the daily prayers. Yes, they were no longer purely Jewish. Yes, they had come to proclaim Christ, but part of their practice, their discipline, was maintaining that which they had learned as they grew up. So they went to daily prayers. And as they went in, there's a guy laying there asking for a handout. Got any money? Got some spare change? Have you ever been to a big city and you're standing there and all of a sudden someone comes up to you and says, hey, can you spare a quarter? I just dated myself. Can you spare a 20? And, you know, you sit there and you go, all he's going to do is he's going to use it to go drink. And we generally, move, exit stage left. We don't want to be involved with that kind of stuff. But Peter and John looked at him and said, look, we don't have any money. But what we have, we'll give to you. We have the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ, why don't you get up and walk? And he does. He goes with them. And the key idea we see in this is that God wants his church to make a difference in people's lives. In the end of chapter 2, we saw this last week. What do we see the people doing? We see the people coming together. We see the people pulling all their resources and assets and bringing them together. They were even selling off their possessions and land and whatever they had to build up resources and assets so that they could help people, so they could make a difference in the life of people. And they did. And what did we see? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so what we learned then, what we carry over today, is God wants his people to make a difference in people's lives. Now, folks, I've been at this for over 41 years. Actually, even longer if you count my vicarage, for instance. Actually, my fourth year, because I worked at Olive Savior's Fenton when the pastor was sick. So, I've been at this for a long time. And what I have seen, what I have read, what I have observed is simply this. People are not turned off to Jesus Christ. they are turned off by Christians. Let me say that again. People are not turned off to the person, the story, the work of Jesus Christ. They're turned off by Christians. Mahatma Gandhi had lived many years in South Africa. And at one point, he said, I could learn to love your Jesus, but I can't stand your Christians. And that ultimately is not the way it's meant to be. The gospel and actions go together. I mean, we go back to this morning's gospel reading. How does Jesus demonstrate the grace of God for this lame man? He heals him. And in fact, if you read through the Gospels, you pay close attention, oftentimes Jesus' gospel proclamation is either followed up by a miracle, or the miracle happens and he follows up with the gospel. But the gospel and action were always meant to go together. In the Old Testament, it's called justice. Now, if you notice on your sheet, there's a couple of empty boxes. When we think of justice, we think of retributive justice. That is, we want to get our revenge. We want to see people punished. If someone has done something against me, I want my pound of flesh. That's retribution. And generally, in today's society, when people are talking justice, that's what they're talking about. But in the Bible, there's another side to that justice coin. It's called distributive justice. Distributive justice tries to right wrongs before punishment is needed. Distributive justice looks for people in need and tries to answer the question, how can we help them get out of need? How do we prevent people from breaking the law because they see no other option? Fiorella LaGuardia. He was the mayor of New York City through the Great Depression, through all of World War II. And as was his habit from time to time, he entered into one of the night courts, the city courts of New York City. And he gave the judge the night off and then sat there in judgment and started hearing cases. An older woman, unkempt, disheveled looking, is brought before him. She had stolen a loaf of bread. And the shopkeeper was hopping mad about her stealing his bread. And so LaGuardia asked the lady, "What's your story?" "Your Honor, I stole a loaf of bread because my daughter's husband left her and three kids, deserted them, and they're living with me. And my daughter is sick and cannot work. And my grandkids were hungry, so I stole a loaf of bread." LaGuardia looked at her. He says, "Ma'am, what you've done is broken the law." And even as he said it, he pulled out his wallet. And he said, "It's either going to be $10 or 10 days in jail." And with that, he took a $10 bill and put it on the bench. And everyone was touched. And then he went further. This is just wrong. There should not be a city where anyone should have to steal in order to eat. So I'm fining everyone in this courtroom 50 cents. And they gathered 50 cents from every person, including that shopkeeper. And they raised $47.50, and the money was then given to this woman. And he said, let me know if you don't, if this runs out. That is distributive justice. He did declare, look, you are guilty. It's a fine or it stays in jail. But he paid the fine. And then he took it one step further to make sure she wouldn't be in need anytime soon. That's kind of what the Bible is getting at when it says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The gospel and actions go together. And when they do, God goes to work. You see, Peter's actions draw people to hear God's gospel. Let's pick up now at verse 11. We're going to be reading for a while. Finish out this whole chapter. So while he, the man who'd just been healed, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, because after all, Peter was never one to let a multitude go to waste, okay? Said to the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he might send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Gospel and action go together. Peter and John first demonstrate the grace of God and the healing of this man. And that draws everyone's attention. And then they proceed to tell him about Jesus. Yeah, they proceed to tell him, look, guys, you messed up. This man, Jesus, was in your midst, and instead of following him, you killed him. But you know what? If you will simply return to God, which is what repent is all about, if you'll simply return to God and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and times of refreshing are heading your way. And even as the religious types cart them off in chains to throw them into jail, the Holy Spirit was at work. And notice that band of 3,120 people multiplied into 5,000 men, plus the women and the children. Growth was given because Peter and John both acted and testified to the good news of Jesus Christ. Theodore Roosevelt is attributed to have said these words, "No one cares what you know until they know that you care." And the application for us is simply this. For far too long, this has been our church. This building, this campus, this location, this has been our church. When all along, you and I are the church. Just like the saints who went before us were the church. And just like those who will come to believe in Jesus Christ will also be the church. And the church is not here for finger sandwiches, cookies, and tea. The church is here to be involved in the lives of the people around it. Somewhere around us, there's a neighbor who is suffering great loss. Maybe a loved one has died. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe they've just lost their way. They don't know what to do. That's our neighbor. This is our community. We're the ones called to make a difference. There are people within Midland that struggle day by day to make their ends meet. I know some of us are good at taking food and taking it down to Mission Agape and places like that. That's great. That's good. I encourage you to do that. But when you see the need standing in front of you, do something. Don't just talk the gospel, but show the gospel in action by what you do. Because it's God's earnest desire that his people make a difference in the lives of other people. May his Spirit dwell within and move us to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And all God's people said,
amen.
To that end, we have been blessed to be a blessing. That started with Abraham when God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation among all the nations, and you and your people will be a blessing to the whole world. And that has been his heart for his church and his people for over 6,000-7,000 years. And it comes down to us. The things we do here, the ministries we try to support and try to do here, these are the things that make the gospel of Jesus known, not just because we talk it, but because we also do it. And your support is needed, and it is truly appreciated. And that's why every week we're going to stand out here with a hand out, but we're also always going to be here with a hand up as we point Jesus. So, in thanksgiving for what God has given us, we now collect our offerings and tithes and gifts to him.
Amen.
Please rise as we join together in the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon. With all our heart, with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Blessed Jesus, in your earthly ministry, you combined your teachings with a variety of signs, wonders, and miracles, touching both the heart and the lives of the people who came to you. As your disciples continued your gospel ministry, they too preached and taught along with signs and wonders and miracles. Encourage us not to speak of your love, but also do the works of mercy that make your love not just heard, but also felt. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart. By the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Continue now with the New Testament canticle. Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated. We have just a couple of things that we do want to remind you. Everything that's going on is in the Grace in Action insert, so you can read through it, and I encourage you to do so. There's a lot of good information there. A couple of things. We continue our Bible study on the book of James on Sunday mornings for the adult Bible class. I know that the other Bible class, I think, is going to step away from meeting during the summer months. I know Bibleville teachers are going to take a break as well. And so if you don't have another Bible class or class to go to, you're more than welcome to join us. We're going to be finishing up James, and I'm not 100% sure what we're going to be doing next. There's one thing I'd like to do, but it costs a whole lot of money, so I'm not sure that we want to do that. But we will have a study. Don't worry about that. Then also, we're going to continue our Wednesday morning Bible classes at 10:30. We're on the Gospel of John. Let's see, I think we finished chapter 4, right? Yeah, so we're starting on chapter 5. If you haven't been able to join us yet, you can jump right on in. We'll be starting at John chapter 5. We're just kind of going through the book verse by verse. There will be a couple of Wednesdays where we won't be meeting, and that's because if you notice, you've got this bright green calendar sheet in your worship folder. So it kind of lays out what's happening in June. You'll notice, for instance, that the district convention is towards the end of the first full week of June. Thomas Wolfmiller and I will be your delegates. We will be there. And I'm not going to get back in time for the June 8th, but we have a lay service all planned out, ready to go for everybody. We will continue this sermon series through that. And then also you'll notice that I'll be gone for a whole week to Baltimore. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be at Midland than Baltimore. I feel safer. But that's where the conference is, and so that's where I got to go. And so those couple of weeks, there won't be a Bible class, but other than that, we'll continue to meet. There's a lot of other things on there. We could still use some help with the food trucks. That's that same week, next week, not this coming week, but the next week, we'll be doing that. We could use help for those. We also got campers going to be heading out and going off to their various camps this summer and things. Got a lot of things going on. And we just want you to be aware of all that. So with that, we close with our last hymn, Savior, again to thy dear name we raise.